I feel so all alone. Then I try to reach my father, and I know he'll be home. For when life gets hard to handle, and I'm fearful and alarmed, I get anxious to find Jesus, and he stands with open arms. I got a hold of God this morning. I talked directly to the throne. Oh, I went there brokenhearted, so afraid and so alone. Satan almost overtook me, trying hard to block my way. I just prayed a little harder. I got a hold of God today.
I was seeking for the comfort of the precious Holy One. As I waited there in silence, I knew that he would come. Then I saw the light of heaven. He came right into my room. When I felt his presence touch me, oh, I knew that I prayed through.
I got a hold of God this morning. I talked to
you hold it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know you've been made whole? You've been made whole. Hallelujah. Now I have a message that the Holy Ghost, thank you musicians and singers, I have a message that I know the Holy Ghost really poured in my heart. One of the great verses that grabbed me Friday morning when we was having Christmas Day church, it really got a hold of me. So go to 1 John chapter 1. And I'd like to read the whole passage, but I think I'll just read the one verse so that we make sure you get the impact of that verse. Verse 5. St. John chapter 1, verse 5. Now listen. And the light shineth in darkness. Now, if you'll go back up, you'll see that Jesus now is the light. So we're talking about Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, verse 4. And the light shineth in darkness. The light shineth in darkness. You don't need a light if it's not dark, right? You turn on the lights at night when it becomes dark. Or during the day if your house happens to be dark. But you turn on a light to kind of darkness, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the darkness comprehended it not. I want to preach this morning on darkness cannot defeat the light. Darkness cannot defeat the light. Now, before you're seated, you make sure you understand. This passage is about Jesus Christ. About Christ coming out of the heavens into our world, the great Creator who became one of us that he might redeem us. And he came as the light of the world. His life was the light of the world. His life still is the light of the world. And this light that he represents, shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now you understand, we probably live in one of the darkest eras of human history. Everything that's happening in all directions represents a darkness that is invading our world. The ISIS crowd is darkness invading our world. The political people who have forsaken the right ways are dark politicians who are bringing their darkness into our world. The church is bringing darkness into the world with many varying unbiblical doctrines that are just coming from every direction. It's an overwhelming matter to look at the many ways in which darkness is invading our world politically, academically, economically, spiritually. In every manner you can name, darkness is invading our world. And everybody feels it. And more people are becoming alarmed by it. And there's a lot of fear out there. And people are literally taking their own lives because they fear what's coming on our world. And it is dark. But we have good news. That darkness cannot defeat the light. That darkness will not defeat the light. But the light absolutely will defeat the darkness. Hallelujah. I don't care what you see happening. I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care how much apprehension you may have and feel, or fear that you may have and feel. I want to encourage you this morning that the light is still shining. The light is still beaming. The light has never been any brighter than it is right now. And this light that we're talking about cannot be darkened. It cannot be defeated. It will manifest and break through the darkness, and the light will be shining brighter than it's ever shone on this earth since the day of creation. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, I'm preaching this morning on this thought. You must not forget, darkness cannot defeat the light. Now, there's one word that I would like to amplify at the beginning of this sermon. I want you to listen to me carefully, please. I love to preach about words. I love to take words in the Bible and just dig into them until I understand them. And here's a word in this verse 5 that is an overwhelming word. It says comprehended. And the darkness comprehended it not. And the darkness comprehended it not. Now, would everybody say with me that phrase, the darkness? Everybody say it with me, the darkness comprehended it not. That's the light he was talking about that the darkness could not comprehend. The light shines. The light is the light of the world. And it doesn't matter how dark it gets, that darkness cannot comprehend that light. That's what the Bible is teaching us right here. This is John, the great lover of Christ, who wrote this book of John. Also, of course, wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation. And he is showing us this divine Son of God, and showing us that he's the light of the world, and encouraging us to understand that darkness may be out there, and darkness may be mighty dark and mighty big, but the darkness cannot comprehend the light. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. And I had never studied that word in my life. I'd never dug into it, and I kind of scolded myself because I had not. And so I dug into that word so that you would understand really what the Lord was saying to us. This word comprehended means the darkness could not grasp it. The darkness could not contain it. The darkness could not defeat it. The darkness could not take it captive. So he was saying that the light of the world is shining and this darkness is coming, but the darkness cannot defeat the light. The darkness cannot take hold of the light and tear it down. And this thought came to me this morning. When the darkness of the world encounters the light of Christ, there's one thing the darkness can do, and that's surrender. That's the only thing darkness can do in the presence of light. I'm talking about his light. That's the only thing darkness can do. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how dark the Muslim world of the radicals get. I don't care how dark it gets up in Washington and up in the city hall of Charlotte. It matters not how dark it gets in the academic world. And believe me, it's mighty dark, much darker than you have any idea. I'll tell you, the Muslim religion can walk the halls of academia, but God in Jesus Christ must not be allowed to walk the halls in academia. That's just how it's come down to here in America. It's amazing to me, the darkness that is invading our world. And I'm telling you, it can absolutely startle you. When you really sit down and begin to name all the different ways that Satan has taken over our world, and Satan is becoming the master of the world of academia, the world of the church, the world of the political forces, it's amazing how this darkness is coming in such a storm. But I'm here to tell you, the light has not been affected. It has not been reduced. It has not been defeated. God's time is awaiting. God's moment is coming. I'm here to tell you, the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Hallelujah. The darkness cannot take the light for captive. The darkness cannot defeat the light, because the light is a heavenly light. He's the light of the world. He's the master of light. Hallelujah. He's everything and he's everywhere, and he cares about every one of us. Now, let's spend a moment. I don't want to spend long, but I want you to understand what this world is facing right now. You got to understand that, because it's everywhere and you can see it. And most people have kind of dug into the sand and they just don't want to understand it. But for your sake and for the sake of those you love, you've got to understand the darkness. You've got to look up and see it, and it is overwhelming. And I spend much time in the news because I don't want to miss what's happening. I want to be a man of this holy book that can look at all the different situations and bring to you, and everybody will listen, the truth and the reasons to be excited and the reasons to be encouraged. And I got news for you this morning. If ever the people of Christ, if ever the born again, if ever the saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled crowd has ever been full of shouting and rejoicing and praising God, this hour is right now upon us. We are living on the threshold of the greatest invasion of heavenly glory that this world has ever known. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, glory, what is about to happen is overwhelming to me. Oh, I know it looks darker, but that darkness is temporary. Do you understand? Everything the devil's ever had was temporary. Everything the devil's ever done was temporary. Every dark thing the devil's ever introduced has been temporary. His darkness has never won the day. The light of heaven always came through right on time. Hallelujah. That's the beauty of the Bible. That's the beauty of the Bible. You start in Genesis 1 and read to Revelation 22, and you'll find one triumph and victory after the other. You'll find one great moment when the Lord God made himself known. You'll see sin. You'll see his ugliness. You'll see the devil raise his own ugly face. You'll see the devil do his best to come and to tear down society and destroy cultures. And many he has torn down and destroyed. But every time the light of heaven was just in time. Hallelujah. In a little bit, I'm going to take you into the battlefields of Israel. And we're going to talk about little David and the great giant Goliath and see the challenge that faced them and the victory that was won. Because there are many stories like that in the Bible where the enemy thought to destroy and the enemy thought to bring everything to a wilderness. And he brought it many times to a very dark point. But the moment always came when the victory was manifest and God was revealed. How many know that God's never late? Could you mind raising your hand with me? How many know that God's always on time? Come on, slip your hand way up there, will you? Do you really know that? God's always on time. God's always there just at the moment that brings him the greatest honor and the greatest glory. Hallelujah. And you can read all the great writers of the past. I'm talking about writers, not the Bible, but just great preachers and great men of God, women of God, who would write wonderful books. And there's been some wonderful ones written through the years, not much lately, but in the past. And I'm telling you, always you could see the triumph. And the darker it became in the circumstances of these lives, I remember when the daughter of the man who started the Salvation Army wrote him from England. She was in one of the cities of England, and she wrote her dad, and she said, "Dad, it is so dark over here. The spiritual temperature is on the bottom. Everything seems to be going down and going into great sorrow." And he said, "Cheer up, my daughter. Cheer up, my daughter. You can always know when it gets dark that the light's about ready to shine." He said, the darker it gets, the closer you know you are to the light. Because God never allowed darkness to win the day. God never allowed darkness to complete its mission without the light of heaven beaming right on time. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God's always there on time? Do you believe the light's always going to shine in the right moment? Do you believe that God really is in control of this universe? You understand, this is God's world. This is not the devil's world. He's nothing but a harbinger. He's nothing but a wayward creature that has fallen into the mires of his darkness. I'm here to tell you, the light always shines right in time. Hallelujah. I wish you'd shout with me this morning, because it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. And it is a dark day. Oh, but the coming of the Lord, hallelujah, is at the door. We don't know what moment, but I can tell you it'll be the right moment. Hallelujah. And I've got to be ready. I've got to be ready. Now let's go for a little bit back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's look a little bit at the story of the little boy David. Now, we're not dealing with some great, warrior. We're not dealing with some man that had won the day with his courage and with his warrior abilities. We're dealing with a young lad, the son of a godly man, but a young lad. Go to 1 Samuel 17 and 43. And the Philistines said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou shouldest come to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Now we're in a battlefield situation. There's a Goliath about 9 foot tall, from the best we can understand, and he's challenging the children of Israel to send out a warrior to fight with him, so that whichever won the battle, the other side would become their slaves and their victims. And David, or at least King Saul, didn't have one soldier in the whole army, that was willing to go out there and fight with this Goliath, this great giant. And here comes little David to bring his brothers some food from the homeland. And he comes at the moment when the battle is in this array, and this giant is crying out, and nobody is found, and the children of Israel are scared, and they're weary, and they're backing up, and they're looking for a place to hide, and it's a sad looking position. It's a sad looking situation. And little David, just a young teenager at best, watches this. And he says to those who are listening to him, I'll be glad to go and fight that Goliath. I'll be glad to go for my God. Who is he that he would defy my God like he's defying my God? Now I want to take a minute here, because I want you to see the parallel of that story with the day in which we live. Never has the crowd of wicked people been more vicious against the truth of the Bible. What day ever in church history, well, I should say in American history, has people defied the true God of the Bible as is happening across America today? Did you ever think the day would come when you cannot go into a public meeting and pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God? Have you read 2 Psalms lately that I preached from last Sunday and showed you what is happening and how this world hates the name of Jesus? Well, this was a situation similar. And yet this giant, nobody would go. And here's the little lad, David, who decides he'll go. He tries on the uniform of his soldier friends and brothers, and it didn't fit him. He was too small. It was not tried. He didn't know anything about it. And he said, no, just let me go as I go. And he told them of the lion and the bear that had come out of the woods to attack the sheep of his father, and how he had taken his bare hands and killed the bear and killed the lion and delivered the little lamb from the mouth of these vicious creatures. He was a young man that knew God. He knew God. I want to tell you something. We need some Davids today. We need some Davids. Brother Dylan, God is calling you to be a little David. Saints of God, God wants us to be willing to stand up in the faith. Let me tell you, when you believe in God, there's nothing that can defeat you. When you trust God, you can overcome every situation. When you depend on God and you listen to Him and you refuse to be fearful and you refuse to be let anxiety overwhelm you, when you refuse to doubt and you just trust God, you're going to win. You're going to win. Somebody raise your hand and say, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to stand for my Father. I'm going to fight for my Redeemer. Hallelujah. I don't feel defeated this morning. I know this is not a big crowd, but I want you to know something. I know what God does in the end every time that men trust Him and depend on Him. Hallelujah. Here stood David as he went out to fight that giant, and he was by himself. Nobody went with him. Are you aware of that? One young lad facing an army when at least one giant, and they say he had some brothers. I don't know, but David wasn't afraid of the giant or his brothers, simply because he trusted God. How many of you can literally face a situation like David was facing and be strong and courageous and not feel, you know, a little bit fearful? You read this story and you find one moment in this story that David was fearful, will you? And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David, are you listening? Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Had protection, the old giant did. And I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Do you know who the Lord of hosts is? Brother Marlon knows. The Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That's a pre-incarnate name for Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. He trusted in the Messiah that had not yet been born, because he was eternal and he was with the Father and he was the Creator. And David probably didn't know all of this theologically at this moment, being a young lad, but he knew enough that he trusted in the Lord. And he said to that giant, "You come to me with a big old sword." The sword was probably longer than David was tall. You come to me with a spear, and I'm sure that was really somewhat of a spear. Maybe if he's 9 foot, it was probably about 12 feet long. And you knew he could took it and could have killed 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 at one time with that spear. And here comes David, and he says, "You come into me with your sword and your spear, and you've got your shield to protect you. But my God will find the place that I can get through." Hallelujah. Now, you see those shields and those days, they were protection. You had to get past the shield before you could get to the person. And David knew that. He was not dumb. He'd watched the battle at least a little while. And so with absolute faith, he says, "I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Hallelujah. See, when you say the Lord of hosts, you're not just talking about one person. You're talking about a multitude of angels. You understand that, don't you, Brother Marlon? Talking about a multitude of angels. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of a multitude." Hallelujah. The Lord of a multitude. And David felt perfectly secure to march down that hillside, across the valley, get him some smooth stones, and then climb the hill somewhat, at least a little ways, on the other side, to go to face that Goliath. I want you to know something. That Goliath didn't have to come to David. David went to the Goliath. David did not wait for the Goliath to come to him. He headed in his direction. He knew whom he was serving. Now, listen, I got to get back. You got to understand my sermon. You got to understand that giant represented the darkness that would destroy the nation of Israel. That giant represented the enemies of God's chosen people. That giant represented those who didn't like Israel not a bit better than the Muslims like Israel today. It was an equal kind of emotion. It was an equal kind of feeling. And David knew the anger. He knew that crowd standing back up there on the hillside. I mean, here's just one little lad leaving the whole army back on the other hill and going down through the valley right into the arms and into the presence of this great army. Not an ounce of fear. Hallelujah. I wish I could get every one of you to be as brave in your emotion and your faith this morning as David was. I wish you could make up your mind. I belong to Christ. I'm His. I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the grace of my Savior. I'm living in the beauty of His Holy Scripture. And I'm not afraid. And I'm going forward. Anybody feels this way? If somebody want to stand up and say, "This is how I feel," go ahead and stand up. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not afraid this morning. I know I've got enemies. I know there's a crowd that don't like me. I know I got family folks that don't care much about me. They don't want to hear my preaching. They don't want to hear my testimony. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm on my way. Hallelujah. There's some giants down the road, but I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I come in the name of the Lord God of the host. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody raise your hand and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to win, brother. We're going to win, Brother Johnson. If we don't win, it's your fault. If you don't win, it's because you don't stay in the light. You stay in the light. Hallelujah. And darkness cannot comprehend you. Darkness cannot comprehend you. They don't even understand you. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody praise him this morning. I'm all right. Hallelujah. Brother Dylan, hallelujah. We're going to win this thing, brother. We're going to win this thing, church. We're going to see Charlotte. If Jesus will give us a few more months, we're going to see Charlotte turning. Hallelujah. We're going to see some saints of God coming to the Christ of Calvary. We're going to see some miracles. We're going to see some miracles. Do you hear me? He's a great God. Hallelujah. Woo, somebody help me praise him. Oh, you can pray. You can sit down if you praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, what a God we serve. I love to see David facing this giant. I think this is one of the most beautiful pictures in the Bible. Is this little? lad David, facing this great giant, and not an ounce of apprehension, not an ounce of fear, no trepidation, nothing but faith, nothing but assurance, nothing but certainty. Do you see that? Do you see the attitude of David? See, this is the essence of this picture. The picture is not just of the giant falling. The picture is not just of the head of the giant being severed. The picture is not just a great defeat of the armies of the Philistines in behalf of the armies of Israel. What is really beautiful is a young man who had seen the light, who had walked in the light of Christ, of God the Father, although his understanding of theology was much reduced from ours. He had so little of the Bible to read, just some Old Testament material. He'd never heard a lot about the Messiah, although he was probably beginning to understand and learn, but he knew the God he served. He belonged to him. Hallelujah. He knew, he walked in all the light he had. See, all the light you need to walk in is all you got. If you'll just walk in the light that you've got, he'll let some more shine on you. Did you know that? You walk in the light you got. You know that Bible is God's word. You know everything in there is absolute. You know that God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but go with you all the way. You know he said absolutely that his spirit would keep you, that he would preserve you. He told you there'd be some hard places, but he let you know when you came through the hard places, the light would shine again and the glory of the Lord would always be. I mean, it really is wonderful to trust in the light of the Lord and to know that God never fails. Well, David is facing the giant, and he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I love that statement. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, with whom thou hast defied. See, David didn't think of this giant as his enemy. We tend to allow, and I've been guilty, we tend to allow those who come against us, we let it become personal. And our feelings become at the person. David knew better than that. He said, I'm not coming to you because you don't like me. I'm coming to you because you defied the God of Israel. I'm here to defend the right of God. If you're here to defend your own right, then you're probably going to fail. If you're here, you're doing what you do just because you want to keep your name up, God forgive us of that. I guess we all have been guilty. I guess I've been guilty of that sometime. I repent this morning. I stand right here before you and I say, God forgive me when I have labored in any of the battles I've been in because of my own honor and because of my own defense, because I wanted to defend me. Forgive me, God. Let me learn to defend God alone. Let me learn to, you see, that's the secret of great victories is when God can find a man or a woman who does not worry about their own rights and their own honors and their own persons, but they're willing to defend God, and nobody else needs to be named and nobody else needs any attention. Just let me defend God. And that's what David said. I come to you to defend the God of the children of Israel. I'm here because you defied our God. I'm here to fight because you defied my heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass, thy carcass, of the host of the Philistines, the army, this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God. Now, the sermon I preached last week was important to me. The reason that people hate Christ so much. But this morning, as I preach this message, I want us to get the picture that we represent, if we belong to this Bible, if we live by this Bible, we represent the light. We represent the light. And there's going to be darkness everywhere you look, and it's going to get darker. I'm here to tell you the darkness that we are seeing right now is only minimal compared to what it's going to be by the time that tribulation period begins. And between now and then, we're going to be here till the rapture occurs right before that tribulation period starts. And if Jesus tarries 5 more years, the world you are living in will probably be at least twice as evil as it is right now. If Jesus tarries 5 more years, this world will probably be twice as evil as it is right now. And there'll be more destruction. There'll be more experiences like the one just happened in California. There will be murder. There will be darkness. There will be the worst kinds of evil. You can just expect it. It is going to happen. Oh, this Bible isn't true. And you know this Bible is true. We're living in the time of the end. We're living in the time of the end. But God's going to have a people. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, the Bible says. Did you hear that? Book of Daniel, chapter 11. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That's exactly what you can apply to David. And that's what you can apply to each one of us if we are willing. Are we willing? Are we willing? Oh, I'm telling you, are we willing? Are we willing to stand up and never shudder and never for a moment think anything, but I'm going forward. I'm going to please God to the best of my ability. Well, David said very plainly, I'm going to take your head from off your shoulder. Now here's a little boy. Let's say he's let's bring him down to 5'4". And let's look at this giant who's 9 feet. He's barely over half as tall as the giant. And yet he says, I'm gonna take your head off. David had something in mind that God was going to do. David knew something that giant had no idea of. David had picked him up 5 little smooth stones. And he looked at that giant. He saw the shield. He saw everything protecting him. But I can just imagine old David got a bird's eye view of that little spot up there on his forehead in which the helmet did not cover. And David said, that's my target. That's my target. Hallelujah. And little David was so wonderful in his ability out in the fields watching the sheep that he could put a little rock in his slingshot and knock a squirrel out of the tree in a moment's time. And that's people in our day that can do things like that. But David was the best of the best. And he'd already picked his target. And he already almost could see that old giant laying on the ground. And him going up and taking out that big old long sword that he probably was hardly able to take out of the shield. It was so heavy. And cut that giant's head off. David had this thing already in mind. Hallelujah. He knew the victory was his. He knew the victory was his. Wasn't afraid an iota. Just as calm. I've got to learn to be calm like that. I'm not calm like that, Brother Marlon. I got to learn to be calm like that. I got to get to the place in my walk with Christ that the victory is so sure in my mind and that I'm so committed to the battle which is the Lord's and that I don't have any other goal but that God be glorified and exalted. Hallelujah. Because let me tell you something. The battle, I don't know how bad it's going to get, but each one of us will have our individual battles. Family members, friends, where you work, where you live, who knows? But not a one of those battles can defeat you if you belong to Christ and if you walk in the light and you let the Lord guide your steps. Oh, yes, hallelujah. The Bible said, walk in the light as he is in the light. You see, every one of us, when you got saved, do you remember you didn't know anything about what's right and wrong? I remember when I got saved at 16, and immediately I knew things that I must do. I knew I had to quit using the language I used to use. I knew that everything in my life was going to belong to God. I knew he was calling me to preach. I knew these things because simply I had stepped into the light. See, when you step into the light of Christ, something goes off in your head. Something goes off inside your very bosom. You begin to see things you've never seen before. How many of you can remember when you got saved and how things you never understood immediately became understandable to you? Would you raise your hand up? How many remember that? How many remember when you really got saved, everything took on a new shade? Everything looked different. Everything was changed. And you knew that you were a brand new person. That's what being born again is. It's stepping out of darkness into the light. Till you know who you are. You know where you're going. You know the sacrifice. sacrifices that you're going to enjoy making. I've never hated to go to the house of God one time in 63 years and 8 months. Never. Not one time. Brother Chambers, did you have to make yourself go? No, never had to make myself go. I always went because I wanted to go. I said on the radio yesterday, somebody says, do you have to go to church to get saved? I said, no. You don't have to go to church to get saved. But if you get saved, and you really get saved, you don't want to be nowhere better than church. It just, you see the light, see? I don't think we understand the light, and I don't think I do. I think this sermon has kind of opened up some venues to me that maybe I didn't understand. But when you get the light, when you see the light, when the light comes on in your heart, way down in here, it's amazing how much of the Bible that you don't even know that automatically becomes a way of life for you. There were things I quit doing, things I never wanted again, and I'd never read one verse in the Bible about them. The light had just come on inside of me. Hallelujah. We live in a world that says, I can't understand the Bible. I got to get me something that's modern and something that's easy to understand. Now, what you need is the light. Hallelujah. You ever see the light? You get that light. You get Jesus turned on inside of you. You get the Holy Ghost moving in and you're born again. Hallelujah. And you'll understand that old King James Version. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a joy. Hallelujah. Well, David had enough of the light that he had no fears. I have no way to tell you how much he had been able to learn. He was just a young lad. But he had all he needed for the battle. Hallelujah. 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 And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. All this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear. I can imagine. I'm just going to get out here on the limb a little bit. There's probably somebody in this building that you've been saying, man, we need a younger pastor. Brother Chambers has got so old. Can't you tell his eyes are dimmer? Can't you see? We just need a young pastor. Ah, now what we need is to depend on God like we never had in all our life. Now, will you raise your hand with me? And I won't know who said that. I don't know that anybody did. But most likely somebody did. And I could kindly understand. Sometimes I get sick of me too. If that'll make you feel any better. You know? I mean, I do. I mean, we're just human beings. And oh, how I want to please. I want to learn to trust not in a sword and a spear or in human wisdom or preacher ability or the great capacities of anything that has to do with church life and church responsibilities. I want to depend only on God. Hallelujah. How about balling up your right fist, would you? I don't mean toward me now. Ball it up and say, I'm going to depend on God like I never had in my life. I'm going to trust in Him. I'm not going to depend on a sword and a spear and human wisdom and human ability. I'm going to trust in the God of Israel, the God of the church, the God of the saints, the God of the New Testament, and we're going to win the victory. We're going to win the victory. We're going to go forward in the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I got to finish the story here. Little David, at the right moment, took that little stone. How big do you reckon? Maybe, how big, brother? A half of an inch, maybe an inch in diameter? A stone. Now, here's a giant, 9 feet tall, and David uses one little stone to win the victory. See, God isn't looking for the big things. God's looking for the instruments He can use that trust in Him. Well, there's so much in the story. It really is a picture, isn't it, of the light defeating the darkness. That's what it is. That's all I want to preach to you this morning. And I want to tell you that the light will defeat the darkness. It doesn't matter what's going to happen. I don't know. I can't read all the signs of what I see in the newspaper. I understand the Bible, but the Bible doesn't reveal everything. We live by a great degree by faith. We know things are happening in the biblical. We know the time of the coming of the Lord is at the door. We know that we live in the day of the falling away, apostasy. Many people are turning. I get amazed at some of the doctrines I encounter now. When recently I encountered the doctrine about the name of Jesus being actually, they say, a name for an old Greek god called Zeus. And that if you use the name Jesus, you're calling on Zeus instead of God. That's a new doctrine. It's going big time. Oh, yeah. I've had to encounter it myself. Where in the world does such insanity come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes out of darkness. See, darkness will produce a multitude of things that make no common sense. Darkness will produce all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of ideas, all kinds of men's thinking. Human wisdom is a frail thing, saints. Oh, it has no ability to do God's business. It's the wisdom of God that does the business of God. Now, I want to conclude this morning by telling you, now listen to me carefully, the battle is the Lord's, it's not yours. I want you to understand something. The battle is the Lord's, not yours. If there's one thing David said that settled the whole thing, he said, the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. How many will say that? The battle is the Lord's. Would you stand up as a congregation and together with me say, the battle is the Lord's? How many will do that? Now do that for your own affairs, okay? Don't just do that for the affairs of Brother Chambers. And don't just do that for the affairs of the church. Look at your own life. Everybody take a moment. Look at your own life. What are you facing? What's out there? What's tomorrow hold? What are the things that's troubling you? And then put them all in God's hands. One thing the Holy Ghost showed me yesterday doing the broadcast about the Lord's Day. It showed me that just going to church is not what people need. People need to go to church to worship. That if you just go to church, then you're not going to get nothing. But if you come here and you worship, hallelujah. How many can say, I'm putting my life in God's hands to fight my battle for me? Are you willing to turn your battles over to the Lord right now? Raise your hand way up high and do it with all your heart. Turn your battle over to God. Turn those two boys of yours over to God, Sister Lucille. Turn them over to God. Those two precious children of yours, Teresa. Your family, Brother Marlon. Turn them over to God. I know my problem has been so often I've tried to do God's work for him. And I can't do it like God can do it. And I'm having to learn. And it isn't easy. The battle is the Lord's. I said, the battle is the Lord's. Everybody together, the battle is the Lord's. Now raise your hand way up high and love on him. If the battle is his, love on him and give yourself to him and quit trying to do it yourself. Turn your life over to him. Let the light be turned on. Woo, hallelujah. I love that light, Brother Dylan. I love that light of Christ that beams inside of me. I love that light of Christ that shines in the nighttime. Hallelujah. Darkness can't put it out because we win in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I love you this morning. Thank you for this simple message that your servant has preached. Father, there's so much more about it that I would like to say. I love to preach eloquently, and I don't think this has been very eloquent. I just love to declare your word, Lord, your wonderful truth. God, the battle is yours. And the darkness cannot comprehend the light. Hallelujah. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. If I will walk in the light, nothing can defeat me. Would you mind saying that for yourself? If I will walk in the light, nothing can defeat me. You say, oh, Brother Chambers, I've been through so many battles. I guess all of us have to some degree. And some worse than others. And I understand that. But I'm here to tell you the battle is the Lord. And I'm going to trust you. I'm a clean girl. And then he turned on my night today.